This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 12, 2017, the 22nd Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
We would not have you, brethren, be ignorant. You may not grieve as others who have no hope. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are in the month of November, a month that has traditionally and rightfully been designated for our particular attention to the souls in purgatory. The whole month of November is particularly geared toward that. The first week in November is a special week for them, where masses are said or should be said for those whom we know are departed, who need our suffrages in prayer. We, as we think of death, have this tendency to just really focus on the loss that we have endured. But it should also give us a heads up that we, as part of the church militant, should understand that we will get our turn. We will be part of that church suffering, that church in purgatory, and we will want people to make suffrages for us. That is the rationale behind this whole thing. There is truly a Catholic, you scratch my back, I will scratch yours, okay? There is ulterior motives for why we do what we do, and it's not wrong. We have to appreciate the fact that we should be concerned with the dead. It is unfortunate that the church has taken a tremendous and dramatic turn away from their concern for the dead. Concern for the dead is scriptural, Old and New Testaments. This passage from Thessalonians, if you read it, it is generally and rightfully, people think about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is about. But there's a context in which the discussion starts. And the context is St. Paul's understanding that the Thessalonians are concerned for their dead. They're upset because, if Jesus comes back now, they're dead and they missed it. Paul, they didn't miss anything. His concern for the dead is why he's talking about this. And the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is integral to our understanding. This is why we approach death different. And this is why I want to focus the attention today. It's on how we should approach our grief over death. Because your grief, I wouldn't say should be, it must be tempered. Your grief has to be tempered by an understanding of what our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us. We have to understand that there has to be a hope and a trust in what Jesus Christ said that has to be really manifest in our lives. This is where we learn this stuff. This is where we learn how we should approach our grief. We don't learn how we approach grief the morning that we lose someone. That's not when you learn, all right? Then you just let people grieve. But this is where we as Catholics should learn how we should grieve. And our grief should be markedly different than the grief for those people who are not Catholics. We should be concerned for the dead, but we should be concerned for ourselves and our approach to death itself. We have this tendency as human beings, we don't even like to talk about death. I've been around people, somebody got some bad news from a doctor or somebody's in hospice or something like that, and you go to a family, what do you think? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, doesn't make it go away. Okay? We don't like to use the term dead. All right? We use all these euphemisms. Oh, he's passed on. He's gone on to a better place. The person's dead. When I was a chaplain with the sheriff's office, teach new chaplains and police officers who have the unenviable task relatively frequently to go make death notifications to people. You always emphasize with them, do not play word games with people. It might make you feel better, but they have to deal with the situation. They have to deal with it. You don't show up and knock on the door and go, hey, about your son, there's been a bad accident and he was really seriously injured. It gives that person, like, even for a moment, this idea that, you know, well, they're just injured. You have to make these people deal with stuff. You knock on the door, I have some very hard news. So-and-so has been killed. So-and-so is dead. Then, yeah, is there somebody I can call? Is there something that I can do? You sit with that person. But you make them deal with the issue at hand. We, as Catholics, deal with this issue, the dead. That's why we have months like November and the first week of November and All Souls, is because it's not just about those who have died, but to give us a little bit of prep also. Don't be hesitant to use terms like dead. A lot of people look at this passage, well, Paul talks about going asleep. You know, those who sleep in Christ. You know, those, you know, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that you may not grieve as others over those who have fallen asleep. I used to say, well, Paul's using a euphemism. No, he's not. He's not using a word that lightens things up. He's making a point. For we as Catholics, dead is not an end. It is a change. Things are changed. They don't end. That's why he uses sleep. It's a theological thing. It's not a euphemism. He doesn't hesitate to use dead because later on in the reading he says, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. He doesn't shy away from it. He's making a point. He's making a point that for us, we should understand, have hope, and trust in what our Lord Jesus says about what death is for us. St. Augustine, speaking about this particular passage, says this idea that Paul is using about sleep communicates to us that they will be raised when their day comes. When do we sleep? We sleep at night. The day of the Lord, when he comes back, is when we will be raised. Hence, this whole deal about sleep. Again, it's theological. He's not shying away from using the term dead. We must be prepared for that. I was dumbfounded last night. There were about 25 people at the vigil mass, and 5 people in that room had lost people within the past year and a half or so, one of them a child. We're going to confront this. Should the Lord tarry, it's either going to be you and, you know, you dealing with a friend of a family member, or you. We are going to, very rarely can you stand up here and go, it's a sure thing. That's a sure thing. That is a sure thing. That should the Lord tarry, we're all dealing with this. We need to prepare ourselves right here and right now and not wait till it hits us in the face. When we understand it, when we appreciate and hope and trust in what our Lord Jesus Christ said, we have to understand that our sadness over this whole issue should be markedly different than others. Pagans and Protestants. Anybody who's not Catholic. We have so many comfortable things going for us as Catholics that others do not have. Pagans, they got nothing. All right? I said, I was a cop for 28 years. I have been more times than I can count places where people are confronted with death. And I mean this in all seriousness. I have watched people tear their clothes off. I have watched people roll around in the dirt. I have watched people get in the fetal position in their house in a corner. And we're just inconsolable. You cannot communicate with them. That is a person that has no hope. It should be expected of the pagan. Because when they hear of the loss of a loved one, it's over. You will never see them again. Everything is just over. That's the pagan. I said about, well, Protestants, they believe in Jesus. Protestants love to wave their banner about faith alone also. Faith alone don't cut it. All right? Every time we read in the New Testament about the judgment, we read about God judges our works. Never once does it say anything about Him judging our faith. You know, when we have faith, we will do works. And those are what will be judged. Those are the only things that we bring forward, are our works. If you play this faith alone thing, it sounds really nice when everything's going well. But when you're confronted with something like death, then it's a whole new ballgame. You know, you can talk about walking the aisle, signing the card, raising your hand, praying the sinner's prayer, whatever you want to, you know, whatever the deal is. You know, that's enough until the time somebody dies. And then, well, you know, he did that when he was 17, but he lived a life of adultery, embezzlement, thievery, alcoholism for 60 years, and then he died. Faith alone? Really? You think so? I mean, this was driven home to me just this past year. I had a friend of mine who's an apostate Catholic. That his family is, and to use this term is a gross overstatement, nominally Catholic. And I went to the funeral, and my friend walked up to me, and I just, you know, hey, how are things, you know, did everything go okay the last few days? Well, we had trouble getting a priest to come in to do the last rites. I said, would you get me? Yeah, yeah, I'll take care of, you know, made my mom feel better, but, you know, that's meaningless. It's just a bunch of ritual. You know, I'm not going to argue with some guy at his dad's funeral, all right? I'm a good one there. I don't even open my mouth. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, dude, your dad hadn't been to Mass for years. Every time he didn't go to Mass was a grave sin. Every time he missed an obligatory feast day, it was grave sin. Those are just what I knew about. So this guy went, you know, he died in a boatload of grave sin if it had been relied on faith alone. But he had a priest come and administer the final sacraments to him. The final sacraments that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted for us. The last rites. I don't understand Protestants. They all know the Bible. James, if anyone is sick among you, call the priest, have them anointed for the forgiveness of sins. It works because it's a sacrament, not because of our faith. Yet we have faith in God, but He's the one that gave us the sacraments. That's where our eggs are. In the comfort that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to do what He said, not what we think or some subjective faith thing. It's objective. It is just not pure mechanics. It's just a matter of, oh, He's going to go to heaven because He gets the last rites. No, He's got to have faith in that. And everything we can do as a church that helps Him out, you know, the thief on the cross thing, we don't know what's going on with the person toward the end when it gets real. And when it gets real and you've dropped the ball for decades and all of a sudden God steps in and goes, I know you dropped the ball for decades, but here. Here's viaticum, bread for the journey. Here's confession, where when you get absolved, you are as clean as the day you were baptized. Here's holy unction for the forgiveness of your sins and the healing of your soul. Because Jesus Christ gave that to us. That's why we are different than even them. Because we have so much going for us. It is a matter of faith. That is why our sadness should be under control. Does that mean we walk around with some goofy grin on our face when something bad happens? No. But it means it's tempered. It's tempered by the truth claims and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. It has to be. St. John Chrysostom says that excessive grief is a sin. The sin of excessive grief. It's not a sin to grieve. He doesn't say it's a sin to grieve. He says it's the sin of excessive grief. And the reason it's a sin is not because you're sad. It's because you're demonstrating a lack of hope and trust in what our Lord Jesus Christ says. Because if you really believe what He says, you can't help but to have hope and trust in what He says. When St. John says that about the sin of excessive grief, he says, all the things that we fear regarding loss, none of them should be overly painful to us if we are willing to cultivate wisdom. What do you mean by that? Cultivate wisdom. To understand what our Lord has said about this stuff. to understand that the resurrection of our body is, it's a necessity if we are part of the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is not the decapitated head of the church that has risen without it. The body rises with the head. It is a pledge. It is a surety. It's the cause of our resurrection. If we hope and trust in that, we can't help but to temper our grief. This whole idea, if you're willing to cultivate wisdom, the first reading today, go figure, from the book of wisdom, personifies wisdom. Says, those who find are the ones who seek her. He who rises early to seek her will have no difficulty in finding her. To fix one's thought on her is perfect understanding. We have to do our part in understanding this. It's not a matter of you come in here and hear me say it, or go home and read the Bible or the catechism about things. You have to live the faith. You have to delve into it. You have to get closer to our Lord Jesus Christ through the sacraments, through the sacramentals, everything, all the means of grace that He has given us. That is where we get the strength to hope and trust in Him, to where it tempers our grief. Because I said earlier, we're going to deal with this. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel today, He gives us this whole parable about when He comes, and for most of us, when He comes is on our deathbed. That's where we're going to meet Him. You know, don't get all caught up in the second coming rapture thing. We're all going to be taken up with Him. The vast majority of us are going to be sick, or we're going to be hurt in an accident, or we're going to get old and decrepit, and we're going to die. That is when Jesus comes back. And we need to be ready for it. And the last words that He says in that gospel is, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. You don't know when it's coming. You better get ready right now. The hope and the trust starts here. We get prepared for it. Pray God you have decades to prepare yourself for it. Then the things will fall into place. Then you will have cultivated wisdom. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those people in union with Him. You will come back with Him. The resurrection, as I said, is the pledge of our resurrection. It's not just a pledge like we hear that and it's kind of subjective and, oh, He promised something. It's the cause. His resurrection is the cause of our resurrection. We have to be resurrected because of Him. I'll leave you with these explicit words from the Holy Spirit through 2 Timothy. St. Paul, when he writes to Timothy, he says, if we have died with Him, we shall also live with Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.